Welcome to Mortgage Sales Playbook. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. My podcasts are where top producers, sales leaders, and industry experts share strategies that drive real sales success. No fluff, just actionable insights to help you master the art of selling and leading. Today, we're going to talk about the recent trends from recruiting from loan officer to executive. I have the perfect expert. That's Brian Boyles. I've known him for years. He's an excellent recruiter. He's the guy when it comes to recruiting, when you want to get no BS. I think that's in your tagline, if I remember, Brian. And so Brian has been he's national sales manager with Militant Advisory. Prior to that, he's had a long, successful career with Academy and New American Funding. And so I'm thrilled to have Brian today talk about this important issue. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Pat. How are you? Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, this is such a big thing. Every conversation I have with executive has to do with recruiting. But before we kind of jump into that, let's talk about how did you get into our world of mortgage lending?
Yeah. So, well, this year actually is I'm celebrating my 31st year in the business.
Okay.
I spent 24 years in the business and now seven on the external agency, as I joke, on the dark side of the business, right? We're a vendor partner. Obviously, we do coaching, consulting, but primarily recruiting. So I spent 18 of my first 24 years in the bank sector, but all mortgage. I was president of the mortgage division for two privately held banks in Iowa, one publicly traded here in St. Louis. And then I took my turn about 7 years in the independent space, where I worked with New American Funding as one of their regional managers, predominantly Midwest, central part of the country, then on to Academy Mortgage prior to their Guild acquisition. And then I spent my last move at CMG Home Loans, actually CMG Financial out of California. So I've originated, led sales teams, oversaw everything from operations to capital markets. So I'll tell you what, though, after all the positions I've had, I truly love what I do on this side. I can not only put my experience to work, but also talk to folks as mortgage professionals, right? So I understand what they're living, regardless of market and the trenches. Sure. So anyway, that's how I got in.
It's interesting that you talk about this, and we're going to talk more about it in a second. But because you talk to executives and loan officers and everybody every single day, I'm curious on some what trends do you see outside the recruiting world that lenders are talking about? Is it AI? What is it that they're talking about from your viewpoint?
Yeah, the AI is definitely a hot topic, right? There's been, I think it's so new that folks are not really, they haven't grasped yet how to actually implement it within their business model, right? Are you implementing it on the back end to improve operational efficiency? Or are there some tools on the front end that you can utilize to reach more potential referral partners, customers, right? So that's a topic of conversation. Generally speaking, what we typically see is no different than we saw the last 30 years in the business, right? In terms of, you know, in this industry, numbers don't lie. People do. And I don't say that to throw any shade, right? But, you know, bravado doesn't normally win. It backfires, right? So I think what we're seeing is more of a transparency is a big buzzword in the industry today. So what does that really mean? Well, I found that, you know, there's certain executives and or companies, right? And or potential candidates, their definition of that may differ slightly. So aligning there is, I think, the first step. What does that really mean, right? We see it from the standpoint of just globally. You don't necessarily need more overhead into our bodies. The problem, you need sharper execution, total discretion, and real margin protection, right? That's, to me, the definition of transparency with everyone we're talking to, from clients to candidates alike.
Well, talk about this issue of the priorities. And of course, everyone I talk to always says number one is always recruiting. And that's true this year. Is that still when you're having these conversations, is that still what they're saying? Okay, I got to recruit my way out of this market.
Yeah, I actually gauge that response by the number of potential new client companies that reach out to us. So, right, and definitely in comparison to 2023 and 24, where we had our definite, you know, wins in our face as an industry, growth is definitely the number one target. I think how you do that, I think folks need to maybe analyze, right? Does the math, whether I'm building additional operational support or I'm trying to build an internal business development team.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough if you're starting that and then also trying to catch the recruiting tailwind that's probably going to continue to occur throughout this year. But that is definitely the number one topic on folks' mind, for sure.
So let's do a deeper dive on our topic today and the conversation that you're having about from the loan officer standpoint and the executive standpoint. And so what is it that you're seeing in this year, in 2025? What are the loan officers looking for, and what are executives that maybe are looking to make a move looking for?
See, so I'm gonna dig into that. I think first and foremost, I would probably say that, you know, a lot of folks recruit based on money, basis points, what the candidate wants, right? I think that that's one of 10 items that are critical. Unfortunately, most people spend 90% of their time talking about compensation. You know, I would get into a lot of things that we try to educate and consult with our candidates on related to compensation agreements. I can, without naming any company's names, I can rattle through 5 or 10 of them who pay sign-on bonuses, which I think is fantastic. The challenge is that if it's under 6 figures, they tie someone up for 12 months. That contract says if you leave within 12 months, you have to pay that back. If it's over 6 figures as a sign-on bonus, which is typically driven by the previous year's volume, if you've got a producing candidate, you're on the hook for 24 to 36. No challenges with that per se, but I think that's created a very litigious environment within the industry. Never once have I seen any language that actually says, hey, can we negotiate on behalf of the client company, get what they want, and the candidate? Mm-hmm. Is there volume incentives? Meaning if they achieve certain milestones, can the sign-on bonus considered to be paid back as opposed to waiting on the full timeline?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know how many calls I get from candidates that say, I've been waiting for this day 2 years ago. I knew in the first 30 days it was the wrong move for me. I've literally been waiting 23 months. So I think it would be better for the industry if there was just a little bit more transparency and not one-sided. I mean, I understand both sides because in our world, we play Switzerland, right? The client company is our client, but the candidate, and we've done this for 7 years, is actually our number one client. So sure. I typically, that's how we make introductions. That's why we don't just throw candidates to the wind to see if they stick at 50 different companies. We try to identify needs, wants, and priorities and get them in front of the right folks. I think what we're seeing outside of monetary is really just getting into making sure our client companies and the candidates understand, right? Because there's recruiting in market. And what I mean by that is you're recruiting the top 20% that's doing 80% of the volume today.
Correct.
If you're recruiting out of market, those folks are a little bit harder to place. They haven't been productive, but yet companies will hire them. Those end up taking longer, right? So if you're truly recruiting in market, I think you got to focus in on what we're seeing is value propositions outside of what you can pay someone. And we can go through those, Pat. We've got a menu of those, and there's not 10 primary items that if I'm telling folks today, executives, client companies, or candidates, look for these items. Mm-hmm. You'll help yourself improve just the overall discussion, introductory discussion, right? Because folks are not looking for the next shiny object. They're looking or what someone will pay them, although compensation does rank in the top three. But there's some other things that I think if companies can hit those, they're gonna see some opportunities they didn't see in an environment where everybody's recruiting. So
share a couple of them, not all 10 of them, but I mean, the ones see that in essence, the individual needs to really think about.
Yeah. I would actually say we did a poll on LinkedIn actually probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and we had a lot of participants. 70% of mortgage professionals, regardless if they were at the LO level or at the executive level, on down, sales manager, branch manager, left or joined the company because of people. So 7 out of 10. So obviously this is a people and a relationship business. So let me focus, in on emotional support and managerial EQ, right? Can leadership at that company handle high-performing personalities? That's one thing that we look at.
Sure.
Are drama-prone top producers managed with tact? Are they avoided? Right? I'm focusing on the people piece of the
Yes,
deal.
sure.
And then the company's hiring manager or leadership team, their role as a leader. Are they creating an environment that attracts top talent? Can the ops team handle both volume and speed?
Right.
And you mark my words, we've seen a challenge, right? The volume has slowed down, but at one point in time, and this may be, I don't know, I don't have a crystal ball, no one does, related to the market, but we will start to get phone calls from professionals saying, get me out of here, Brian, because we can't even close loans on time. Now, after
right.
coming off 23 and 24 and into 25, you would never think that that would be possible again. But we're kind of in our third different cycle since I've been doing this on this side in 2018. And this one, I think, is extremely important. The last piece related to leadership. Do they truly inspire loyalty? There always seems to be a one-way view, whether it's from the candidate to the company or the company
right.
to the candidate, related to loyalty. I think it's important during a process. It doesn't have to be during the introduction. But during the process of identifying true value propositions, because I've heard a lot of people say you got a seat at the table. That's what executives are looking for. But then when you pull the covers back, you got one person at a fairly large company making all the decisions.
Right, right.
So I don't have an issue with that, but just don't put it out there if you don't truly mean it, right?
So talk about, because you deal with all sectors, in other words, mm-hmm. what's the perception by the individual who's looking to make a change? Are they looking to move, if they're at a bank, they're moving to another bank, or if they're at an independent mortgage banker, they're moving to another independent mortgage banker? What's the perception of these different institutions? Is capital matter to these individuals, or is it all what we're talking about now? So what are your thoughts on that?
It's basically what we're seeing when we talk to candidates who are at a bank. It is overwhelming still, believe it or not, to this day, to say, hey, I've never had an originator's license. I've got to take 20 hours of continuing ed, and then I've got to actually take the UST, which
right.
hopefully most states will apply, right? We try to help educate them through that process by looking at historical data back to 2018. I mean, truly, how much business do you actually do
mm-hmm.
outside of your primary market area? Because
mm-hmm.
doing five loans a year, what is the economic impact? So what I've noticed, though, is folks that are in the banking environment, one question I always ask is your bank, is mortgage banking a way of life or is it a line of business, right? Because if you're truly a mortgage banking professional, then a lot of folks, they usually have their heads down. They don't have any idea what's out there. They don't even know what an independent mortgage banker offering is,
right?
Right? So, and vice versa, right? So there's a trend that products, portfolio, although we've seen that been very limited in the banking space, right, related to
sure.
mortgage banking portfolio products the last couple of years. One-time closed construction, one-time closed platforms, some banks have. A little bit more aggressive ARM jumbo, like in the jumbo space for ARM products. So typically, that's why I think you're seeing a lot of folks in the IMB space really expand their broker and or correspondent outlets in product expansion, whether that's fixing, you know, in the non or alternative financing space, right? So there's some things that I think they've been around for a long time, but because of the limited inventory and the challenges in mortgage banking,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing some of these folks, you know, whether it's bank or IMB, kind of lead with that product. And you got people, 70% compensation pricing and product offering was the other 30.
Yeah,
so that represents, right? That
yeah.
represents most of the 100% spectrum today.
So let's talk about, and Ingenious has come up with great data, and they had a posting not that long ago where 50% of the loan officers are doing only 8% of the business, which is no surprise because that's actually been true for a long time. So on a recruiting mm-hmm. component, I still see, and I'm curious if you see, where companies will still take or still really recruit people that would be in what I would call below average production, because there's only so many people that are above average. And so are you still seeing
mm-hmm.
that?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. We see that quite regularly, right? So when I said, are you recruiting, if are folks recruiting in market or out of market, if the top 20% is doing 80, that math isn't exactly equivalent, but what you said hits home. That is completely accurate. I think that's not necessarily the challenge, because if those folks can still find a home, right? A lot of it comes down to mentorship, leadership, culture, but most importantly, this is where I think companies and professionals can come to an agreement. This is why I think candidates like that need to truly dive in a little bit more with who they're talking to go to work for. Do they have a sales training program? You know this.
Oh,
That's
yeah,
one of
I
the
know.
primary things that you do, right? And you
Right.
know, a lot of folks don't focus in on making those investments. And I
Sure.
think what do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over
Same
and
thing
over,
over
expecting
again.
different
Sure.
results. So if you're going to do that, right, and add those folks, and are they underperforming because they can't do the job, or are they underperforming because they're not with the right group? But
Right.
moving them and placing a new flag in the ground, expecting them to just go out and do what they've been doing, right? Because a lot of people say, hey, our platform can increase your production
Correct.
20 to 30%.
Yeah.
And my question always is, okay, I got a candidate in front of you. How are we going to communicate that? Like, what are the tangibles? And
Right.
that's difficult for a lot of folks to answer.
Yeah. No, I mean,
Right?
I see
Yeah.
it all the time, and I'm just it does say that the thinking is that there, as you said, is that okay, my computer system, my this and that, my pricing, all this will move somebody that's a two unit producer to five units, and it never happens. There's a reason why they're a two unit producer, and so I find it interesting. Are companies still tolerating that? It sounds like from what you're seeing recruiting wise, they are.
Yeah, there's everyone has established the last, well, since 20, about the end of 23 into 24, they've established production minimums. So they put folks on performance improvement plans. Generally speaking, if I look at all our client companies over the gamut, 6 units a quarter or 500,000 in volume is typically in that range. So, ironically, though, there's some top performers who in 23 and 24 struggled to do 2 to 3 purchase units a month. Had nothing to do with their talent. It had everything to do with what was going on in the particular market or MSA related inventory. And maybe they were selling what they had, right? Because if I lined up 5 lenders, maybe 2 to 3 of them have one-time close or have any builders that don't have their own mortgage company that they can actually penetrate and gain market share.
Right.
That's where
So,
a product comes in. Yeah.
both you and I are obviously longtime experienced mortgage bankers, and it does seem as if the criteria is that we in essence, I don't know any other industry where we just, well, the banking industry, where we just recruit in essence within the banking industry. And so we don't look for, outside it. And a lot of it is reason why I think change is very difficult for the industry. Are you seeing lenders at the executive level thinking differently, or is it really the same old, same old?
It's for the most part, Pat, the same old, same old. But I would tell you that there are some forward-thinking companies that we're having discussions with around this topic. You and I have talked about this topic, right? I mean, you've got an aging loan officer population. It's no secret, right? Average age is 58. You've got a lot of
Yikes.
folks that, right? You got a lot of folks that truly, if the last 3 years didn't happen, they would have already retired. And what I mean by that is just the challenges we saw in the industry, and the volume was cut by 35, 40%. So the forward-thinking companies are talking to those folks and saying, hey, can we help you build a junior to your team? And where does that junior come from? And I think that's where you were going. Are there other industries or other professions? Well, I mean, you have tools right now that are 20 years plus tested, right, of what the principles are related to what makes a good loan officer, right? Those that have been doing this for so long and at a higher level. So yeah, I think some forward-thinking companies are starting to think about that, but if I heard anyone that has a plan, no. It's like, hey, we all suffered in 23 and 24. Okay, 25 hit, there's a level of optimism there. We're going to grow. Okay, how do we grow? Well, we either partner up with external agencies on a contingency basis, which basically just means if Brian has a candidate, Mag has a candidate, we deliver it, you place them, the company pays us. We're transparent. You know, we've had a lot of candidates say, well, Brian, you know, what's this going to cost me? Absolutely nothing. Now, before the buyer's real estate agreement changes, I used to say, hey, we're like the purchase originators of recruiting. But I can't say that anymore, right? Because buyers actually now entering into buyer's agency agreements, but that was pre that change last year, right? So, but yeah, it's definitely, I think if one takeaway related to that topic, I would think that we would want to truly focus in and start to plan around that. Because all of a sudden we're going to wake up and it's 2028.
Yeah.
And now that average age originator is now what? 61. And we have no other plan. Are we just going to continue to do this?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I'm shocked that it's 58. Right. It's gotten older. I mean, I'm surprised. Yeah, I mean, it was old before. So anyway.
Yeah.
So Brian, we have the time has flown by, and you know, you shared so many important points. So talk about a couple takeaways for our listeners today as far as recruiting in 2025 is looking like, what they need to do, and a lot of your tips.
You know, everyone's pitching comp plans, tech stacks, and shiny CRM tools, right?
Yeah.
The top originators, you know, tell you what they want. They want dedicated processors that actually get deals done. They want LOAs paid by the branch, not pulled from their comp. Mm-hmm. Leaders who don't hide behind messages, lead from the front, have originated before, a seat at the table when things change. Because they are going to change, right? Change is inevitable.
Sure.
Now, our industry typically is fearful of those. And work-life balance is not just a buzzword. Mm-hmm. It's not. Right? I mean, with technology and all the tools and the AI and everything that we talked about through this call, we got to move the needle. And that work-life balance, that's what I was going into before. Comp is not the only thing. That may initiate the discussion. Are you leaving money on the table? But there's so much more important things to consider or to consider parallel to that. So that's really what we're saying. If your company can address those, and I'm telling candidates, know your client leadership, know their operation, know their retention rates.
Correct.
Talk to people that went there a year ago. Talk to people that have been there 20 years. You know, this is their career. We encourage all of that and outline that. But leadership, even at the executive level, needs to know those things about their company when talking to a candidate. That would be my takeaway.
So, Brian, how can people get in hold of you and contact you? And certainly, I highly recommend anyone who has any recruiting questions or whatever. Brian is quite knowledgeable and highly successful in our business. So how can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Thanks, Pat. It's probably the best way to reach me is by cell, text. I'm a text away, 314-449-0226. Or you can check us out at www.middletonadvisorygroup.com. And it's got my contact information there as well.
Brian, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. I got to have you come back because we need to continue this conversation, especially when you have the 58 years old. I'm even shocked by that one myself. So got to have you back to talk about it and how to resolve that issue. And thank for our listeners for listening to today's podcast. Certainly to get our new podcasts, they're published every Monday. Subscribe on our site, www.patsherlock.com. Thanks so much. That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your team. Want more proven sales strategies? Visit patsherlock.com for expert resources, coaching, and sales training. Until next time, keep selling smarter and not harder.